long time. It's 10 o'clock, so we'll call to order the Tax Relief for Pollution Control Property Advisory Committee. And I will start with the roll, and it looks like I think all we're missing is Bennett and who else?
Lloyd.
Bennett and Lloyd are not here. Charles, are you on the line?
Bob?
Yes.
Lloyd Graham.
Lloyd, okay, great. Charles, are you on the line? Not, okay. So I guess Charles is missing. Okay, I will comment on the public policy. We do want to hear from the audience to the extent you want to share your input with us. But we have a kind of a reasonableness test for the length of how we need to talk to stay with the subject. And do we have any general comments before we start? I will suggest one thing, if I could take it out of order, and that is I've heard there are some people that because of legislative matters that are going on there could be some need to leave the meeting early or whatever. So if we'll take up there's a specific proposal that's been circulated.
Good morning. This is Charles Allred.
Hi, Charles. Glad to join us. I'm just saying we have a specific item that's been proposed by Mike Nassie. It's been forwarded around to the committee. And Mike, I'll let you go with this.
Great. Thanks for taking this item up, item three on the agenda. And this handout that everyone on the phone you've received electronically, we have it here physically as well. This is the, as I mentioned in my email, we took, as promised, I was going to downsize the last recommendation about this issue. Certainly there's some across-the-board general language in that original document that we probably won't even return to at all. We probably have some other things in that document we can return to that we probably reach agreement on. But this is even a smaller subset that I picked up on that we would potentially have unanimity around. And I've worked with Don Lee and Bennett Sandlin offline to make sure we had the language right. They both had really good comments that I've integrated into this draft. So with that, basically what it does is provide a recommendation from this committee to the commission that as it relates to the threshold requirement solely, just the eligibility to be considered under the environmental citation piece of the eligibility, carbon capture utilization and storage at power plants, at existing power plants, would be within that, would fit that criteria, would meet that criteria. And the rationale is because we've entered a stage from a regulatory perspective that the Supreme Court has, although it has limited EPA's authority to pursue GHG regulation in general, it has explicitly allowed EPA to proceed in the regulation of greenhouse gases through its permitting program for what are called anyway sources. And so for power plants may or may not become subject to a specific mandate, they definitely are under the general umbrella authority of the EPA right now, that if they were in a BACT review process, greenhouse gases, CO2, control of CO2 is definitely something that is legally applicable in that situation. And so wouldn't, even though that process may not require a control as extensive as CCUS, CCUS certainly would exceed an environmental regulation. So that's the underpinning and the idea. And the reason I think I've mentioned before is we do have at least one significant project that needs to have a lot more clarity about this threshold requirement. It also wants clarity about how the commission might deal with the application in general, but this recommendation is solely on eligibility on the front end and is not unique to just one application. It's just trying to carve out that one industry application. And I know that Bob has raised with me and maybe others that we should have a similar conversation moving forward about other industry sectors My goal is to try to keep this as narrow as possible so that we can get a vote of approval of it today. So with that, I'll open it up for discussion.
Any other discussion?
I'll just say that thank Mike for working with Bennett and I, and Bennett cannot be here this morning, but asked me on this issue to express it, express for him that we're in agreement on this, the two of us, and I can think the rest of it speaks for itself, and we can get into details if anyone needs to further.
So if I could just have a little discussion about it. Right now, EPA rules are that if you're building a new plant, you certainly need to get a GHG permit. No question on a new plant, this would apply. I'm having trouble understanding how on an existing plant when, you know, obviously the Clean Power Plan hasn't been adopted, it will be challenged. How is it that an existing plant, a plant would be required to look at BACT for CO2?
Well, I mean, that really is the reason a recommendation is necessary, because we've got this interesting, there's two things that we're faced with right now in terms of the way greenhouse gas and CO2 regulation is unfolding, right? One is that we may never have a specific directive that they actually have to control CO2. I mean, it is very likely that if a rule survives scrutiny legally, that it is going to be a limit that is applied to the fleet. Okay, and so I think we might confront the same issue all over and over and over and over again. So I'm not sure we're ever going to get to an NSPS that specifically mandates a power plant. So that's one recognition. But the real driver here is that when you look at the statute and the Constitution and we say meet or exceed an environmental rule, it's a question of what is an environmental rule, right? And so here we have, I think, certainly flavored by the fact that in 2007 the legislature identified that the regulation of carbon dioxide as a pollutant, you know, one could argue is all that you needed, but much more has happened since then. Not only has EPA started to regulate carbon dioxide as a pollutant, it has deployed a rule and now has been upheld by the Supreme Court to do CO2 and other GHG best available control technology reviews at existing facilities as well if they're subject to BAT. I mean, if they're in a major mod situation, right? And so the only thing that would distinguish an existing source that's subject to a BAT review from not being subject to BAT review is whether or not they were in on a revision or an amendment, right? So,
and in the case of these plants that are looking at CCUS, they're not going through a modification for other pollutants whereby they would be subject to BACT?
Not necessarily under the current scheme. I mean, a future application could very well include the need to do an amendment or a major mod. And so that, you know, that's the underpinning. That's the that's the uncertainty, the kind of the gap filling that the commission needs to do about, you know, before you ARG, before, when the state of Texas's position was still in very much a legal challenge mode to the even having BACT reviews conducted about greenhouse gases, I could see why the commission would say there's a situation where we certainly can't believe that an environmental rule exists to create a basis for this. I can see that argument. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I definitely see that. Post-UARG, you know, where the EPA and now the TCEQ will be doing these BACT reviews about this pollutant, okay, and the distinction between whether or not you're actually doing a BACT is really only procedural, depending on whether you're in for a permit amendment or a renewal or whatever. That, you know, I'm not suggesting that those reviews would result in a CCUS mandate, but again, the statute is meet or exceed. Right. And so I think the threshold that the committee can feel comfortable with is you've got a pollutant that's regulated, you've got a permit regime that addresses the pollutant, these types of facilities can be subject to reviews for that or control of that pollutant, and CCUS would be the kind of the Cadillac version of exceeding any of those requirements.
And just to be clear, if we make this recommendation, we're not saying that all CCUS applications are going to be accepted, and we're not saying that all CCUS applications would be 100% pollution control, because there could be a benefit with oil recovery, other things. We're just saying they meet the standard of being pollution control, and then whether or not that individual application gets accepted or not, and whether it's wholly or partly, are still subject to agency review.
Right. The second to last paragraph is very important on that front. I've retained that. I drafted that language in the prior draft recommendation and have retained that because it's an important point that, A, this recommendation is to be accepted or left by the commission at its discretion anyway, but even the recommendation itself is not opining about how the agency will conduct these reviews, whether they'll be under Tier 1, Tier 2, or Tier 3.
Okay. Mike,
yeah,
Roland Beamer, how many installations are you aware of in the state of Texas that fit this mold today?
One.
Is this a pilot project of some type? Or?
It is a full scale, but still a demonstration project. It's the first of a kind.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm sorry.
Mike, would Summit Energy fit this? I know it doesn't fit the other things we've been talking about, but wouldn't it fit this?
It's a new power plant.
It's a new power plant?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a different beast. It's not my desire necessarily to say. I mean, this is just a clarification of what we all are comfortable with. I think polygen projects, and they're a great idea, polygen meaning you gasify coal or another fuel for that matter, and you create ammonia, you create electricity, you potentially create CO2 for a chemical feedstock or for EOR. There's a lot going on there. We just figured this is the area to focus in on. And honestly, for new applications, to Cyrus's point, a recommendation is not as necessary because it is the proposed rule right now that you have to do CCUS at new power. It's actually mandatory.
Well, isn't it mandatory that you have to meet a certain CO2 level such that probably only CCUS?
Yeah, if you're going to use coal. If absolutely. Use coal. That's function. It's practically speaking.
Isn't there a demonstration? Is this the demonstration project to, and I know we're not opining on an individual, but is this the demonstration project to Parrish?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's the one, to answer Roland's question, the one that is in existence in terms of a retrofit of an existing power plant. The Parrish project is the only project that is actually moving forward. There are lots of promised projects, but this is the one.
Is this for the coal plant or the gas plants there, or both?
Coal.
Or it's the coal.
It's the coal. It takes a slipstream off of the coal plant and controls it at 90%. As an example of a project that would be benefited.
Theoretical. Well, I'll just add to get an idea of how rare this is or more frequent it is. I just did a quick internet search. The Global CCS Institute, it has it by industry, the number of projects, and there are 7 additional ones in the U.S. currently, but it's a growing trend, obviously. So I think we'll see more of these.
Yeah, I mean, the goal of this recommendation is it's not supposed to be a one-trick pony, but at the same time, it's exceedingly rare. And as somebody who represents people who generate electricity with a lot of different sources, but certainly coal is one of them, the choice to keep a power plant open at all if EPA's rules come down in the way they're anticipated is actually going to be a very difficult one. And the ability for somebody to have the clarity that CCUS would potentially count is a very important thing. And I will just say from a big picture for the communities, because we really are going to potentially be looking at a situation whether they either do CCUS or they close their plant.
If wholesale power prices are $25 or $30 as they continue to be,
right,
it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, CCUS is going to be too expensive. And so to broaden the scope of the answer to your question, Roland, there is only one other post-combustion retrofit CCUS project in the world. That project just was commissioned in Canada. It's a smaller project, but this has never been done at this scale anywhere in the world, in reference to the Parish NRG project that...
And Mike, I understand it, that second to last paragraph basically says that the staff is going to apply the same rules that they do everybody else. And as far as if there is a income stream that's being thrown off because they're selling the carbon dioxide, they're going to look at that.
Right. There are tough questions about, you know, when is CO2 a marketable product? And when is it appropriate to do Tier 2 versus Tier 3 that this does not touch? Those are issues that would require a lot more time for us to deliberate and give good recommendation on. And maybe in a future meeting we'll do that, but that's not my intent here, and the document does not ask for that.
Additional discussion?
If I vote for this, are you admitting that CO2 is a pollutant?
CO2 is a pollutant regulated by the federal government under the Clean Air Act.
Does staff have any concerns?
And I realize we're putting you on the spot a little bit because you just got this morning. So, again, we apologize for that, not having you in the loop earlier.
This is Minor Hibbs. I'm with TCEQ. I don't necessarily think we have any concerns with the resolution. Let me clarify, and I think that's why you have the resolution before you. I mean, the way that we've looked at projects in the past is whether or not there's an environmental rule that applies specifically to the plant. And that's specifically what this resolution is getting at, is to have a different entry point for eligibility rather than that, because eligibility depends upon when the rules came into effect, whether it's applicable to that specific facility. So I think I'll leave that right there.
Okay. Thanks, Minor.
Do y'all have a problem that it is talking about existing power plants? Do we have unintended consequences that could be coming down the tubes as far as refineries, chemical plants, et cetera?
Well, I don't know if I should answer this, but it's my understanding that we're narrow today. That's not to say we won't have a discussion later on.
I understand that, but that's my concern. Do the other industries, can they jump on this bandwagon because you're excluding them?
Wayne Frizzell, it seems to me that any of projects that this would refer to, somebody's going to have to spend a large chunk of money to put it in, yeah. Which is not going to take away from the value of the existing plant, but it might let it stay open. The whole point is this is not going to affect what's already there, because this would only affect something that has to be built to do this. So it's if it's looking at existing facilities, it's not going to lower the value of an existing facility. It would be reducing the taxability of
future
of added property.
Very clearly the case. Thank you, Wayne, for that clarification.
It could even protect the value of the existing property.
And frankly, chemical plants and refineries don't have a back standard, I don't believe, that deals with...
I mean, to be real clear, there could be...
If there were over 100,000 tons.
The limiting factor is, would they do it? Would the economics make sense? And every widget they would build would be new equipment. I mean, this is not something people do with existing equipment. This requires a very, very expensive set of widgets that, A, will keep it practically from happening, sadly, and so I think we're actually going to lose a lot of value from closures. If we actually can pave the way for some of these early projects, maybe more people would be willing to take the risk.
Help me out here, but would it be possible in this this item we're talking about to state that if it's a demonstration project, we recommend that it be considered?
Should we get into ever expressing opinions about particular applications?
I don't think so.
We've avoided that.
We've avoided that.
What I've tried to do, Roland, it's not a bad idea. It's just what I've tried to do is not cross that line of getting too specific in our intimation about what kind of projects, but also trying to align with the framework the commission needs to work within, which is they got a very clear threshold that you got to get over, which is that rule citation. And, you know, if a CCUS project at an existing plant can meet the criteria, I think it meets the criteria whether that project would be considered a demonstration. That term doesn't, that's more of a practical term, honestly, of realizing that, hey, when something's the first thing in the world, it's a demonstration project. Is the second one still a demonstration project? Probably. Depends.
My thinking is that they probably, and this is speculation on my part, they probably got some grant money to help make this thing come to reality. In the real world, without that additional grant money or without some type of very large tax credits, these aren't going to be happening.
Yeah, I can state with confidence it's the one area of the world that I know an awful lot about. There is no way the economics of a CCUS project can be profitable without significant subsidy, and I'll use that word.
So did you consider...
I don't have any problem with this one that we're talking about. I'm just worried about what could be coming down the tubes.
Right. And that was a lot of why I narrowed it, Roland, is to get this point of clarity to at least eliminate that question. Doesn't mean the commission's going to say yes to these. It just means that that's something we're all offering some comfort on. That's really all Bennett and Don and I were, you know, just let's avoid at least the question amongst ourselves. That seems to pass the test to us. Obviously, the commission's got to run its program.
And if I can say, without knowing all the details of the application, and there may be things staff engage in that I don't know about, and I'm not trying to speak towards anything about that particular application, but in general, the concept of there being expensive equipment attached to generating plants that does not contribute to the generation of electricity, but captures emissions.
Doesn't change the technology.
That fits the definition of what we always thought as local government proponents for Prop 2, that we do not want a tax. Right? It is making generating plants more expensive to have that equipment there, but cleaner. Well, we want to tax the and we think it's right to tax the generation of electricity, not the capturing of the carbon. So it fits. Yeah. It fits philosophically our view of how the program should work.
It's like a carbon baghouse. It's a bolt-on. It's that easier category where it's not integrated into the process. It is it's a control device.
Yeah.
I just wanted to maybe clarify a comment that I made. This is Minor Hibbs, TCEQ, comment that I made earlier. I think the resolution is good for the advisory committee to tell the commission your thoughts on this issue, and it certainly will spur discussion within staff and the commission itself as to how to handle these projects. So
that's all we want.
Good deal.
Thank you. With that, I'll move passage.
I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Would you mind? Okay, passage of the proposal as presented. And we'll have additional discussion. I would have one suggestion, if you don't mind. I just thought of this. since we're an advisory committee, is it necessary for us to say advice rather than recommendation, or is our opinion or anything like that? Do we need to? It may not be necessary.
Where is that, Bob?
For example, right on a recommendation that says, in the opinion of the committee.
So it could say the committee advises?
Yes, something to that effect.
It's fine by me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's better or not.
We bounced around, so it's definitely a phrase that we were not sure how to write it. Initially, I had said, if you remember from the old one, the commission should clarify through rule or guidance or preambles, and Don was right. Let's simplify it a little bit. But the commission advises is probably just as good.
Yeah, because we're not asking for any documents to be changed, and we're definitely not asking for a rule change.
So we would strike in the opinion of the committee and replace it with the committee advises and eliminate the comma. Sound good?
Yes, yes.
Committee advises that, right?
Yeah, the committee advises that.
Mr. Chairman, did you want to see if anyone in the audience before we vote on this?
Good point. Any other comments from staff or general public? We genuinely welcome input. We're not just trying to run this through. Okay.
I'll move the recommendation as amended to with that change that we replace in the opinion of the committee, comma, with the commission advises that.
All right. We have an amended motion. Do we have a second?
Yeah. I'll second the amendment or whatever procedure is in play here.
All right. Okay. We have a motion and a second. We will now call a vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, aye. No. All right. It is unopposed. The motion passes. And I suppose the logistics of this is he's got my name on it, so I will we'll take that revision and we'll submit it to the commissioners and copy staff, of course. Yeah. Unless the staff recommends another way to
throw away the payments. That's right.
Any other comments? Okay. All right. I think we might could come back to meet or exceed, but it might give us some better background if we would take the next item as legislative updates.
Ron Hatlett with the TCU staff. We've been monitoring several bills this session. HB 994, which is the landfill gas one where they changed or removed the word temporary, that passed the House earlier this week. HB 103, HB 2378, yeah. HJR 107, SB 80, and SB 868 are all basically the same type of bill. That's the one where they want either the LBB or the Comptroller's Office or Sunset Commission to evaluate all tax exemptions, all tax incentives on a periodic basis, anywhere from 3 to 6 years, and recommend whether the exemptions should stay in place, whether the section of the tax code should remain in place, or whether it should be removed. HB 2746.
Yes, sir. Would you mind repeating those bills again? I just want to make sure that mine aligns with what you have.
HB 1003, HB 2378, HJR 107, SB 80, and SB 868.
Thank you.
Okay. HB 2746. Is an early version of a bill that would have impacted how exemptions are done. It hasn't moved. It hasn't even been heard in committee. HB 4087 and SB 1983 have to do with the issue that we just discussed about carbon capture. And in SB 1469 by Senator Watson is the one that would make everybody reapply for exemptions on a regular basis.
Okay.
Mike, I think it's fair we ought to tell the others about our discussions around 4087, and that is that bill will be pulled down by the authors if the issue is addressed in the application process.
So if the application is approved by TCEQ, then that bill will be moot and not necessary.
What's the timing on the application, though?
It's in, and we're asking an awful lot for the commission to be able to timely consider that, but we're hoping. And it is the commitment of the authors and the people who support the bill that even we'll get that bill to a position where it can pass if it needs to, but we'll pull it off the calendar if it doesn't need to.
And does the bill, and I read a version of it, but I can't remember off the top of my head, but give us the 30-second version of what it actually does. Does it say this application will be approved, or what does it say?
It basically answers the question that we just opined on the front end and also the second half, which is that such an application would be entitled to a full exemption. It is bracketed in a way that it applies to a facility, basically the NRG project. That bracket is in negotiations, however, by folks, just to be fair, the Summit Energy Project is going to, you know, need to be dealt with in some way, shape, or form. So it does that. It goes beyond what we did here today.
And the Summit Energy raises questions because that where that facility is. The bracket limits it to the Fort Bend location by saying that there can't be a market in that county for the CO2. And no one thinks that describes Ector County. So, you know, in the end, I think Bennett and I both agree that this is better handled through this process over here, that the type of use, this equipment and its use is consistent with how we view the Prop 2 program, and that it's all better handled over here.
I think bringing Summit into it is going to make it problematic for a lot of people because of it's a different kind of plant and because you are using the CO2 in a productive way.
As 100% exemption, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
As 100% exemption, that you know that it does not meet philosophically with me and all of our folks if it's 100% exemption. Whereas this one, in truth, they're looking for a Tier 2 exemption just for the capturing equipment, right?
And we don't know what their application would look like, so it's going to be difficult to give comfort about the way that looks. And it is important to point out that there are two aspects of the bill. One is the threshold criteria, and they would clearly qualify under that. But the back end, the decision about how the commission deals with the CO2 question is dealt with in a very bracketed way that's based on the premise that there's not a viable CO2 market in the location of the project. And that was the comfort that stakeholders needed to support the bill or at least go neutral on the bill, and that's where we currently sit. If that changes, we'll see.
Pragmatically, today is April the 24th. Can this be presented to the commissioners, approved? Staff make a recommendation to.
It doesn't have to go to the commissioners. This, right? It's an executive director determination.
This would be executive director. Okay.
And no, I'm not trying to put any pressure on the staff. I'm maybe saying so they might disagree with me, and they know better than I do. But I believe this is in the subsection K, which is the expedited review list.
What's the timeline on the review for those? Is there a timeline?
Is it 30 days, Ron?
Yeah. Okay.
30 days from, I think it says receipt, and we define receipt as the day it goes admin complete.
Is it admin complete? Do you know?
I spent 5 minutes looking at it earlier, and I'm not sure.
It's admin complete-ish.
Yeah. It depends on how you define admin complete. Did they scribble something in every box? Yes, they did. Was it sufficient scribbles in every box to be admin complete? Give me a couple of days.
Okay. Well, I support your you know all that stuff. I don't.
And on 1469, there was a hearing on it. I believe they're working on yet another committee sub.
That's the proposal that would say every 3 years determinations would have to be renewed through TCEQ.
That's called Watson.
I've been told they've asked me for technical assistance on that because we really, it's not something we've been involved in, that bill. And I think they are headed towards 5 years and for everything that doesn't qualify for.
Yeah, they're headed for 5 years and only those things that aren't on the predetermined list.
Right, aren't on tier one.
Yeah.
Right.
So it'd be a much more limited bill. That being said, it's late in the process.
It's late in the process, yeah. And it's still, I don't think any of the changes they're working on are going to absolve the opposition from the opposition that that bill has.
Do we know who brought that bill, but Senator Watson?
I don't.
I do. But it wasn't me.
Okay. Trying to understand the problem we're fixing. I'll talk to you about that offline.
If you'll remember, though, that was an, I believe, correct me if anyone thinks I'm wrong on this, because I am operating off of memory here, but my memory is the 2008 LBB interim study recommended this.
I think Senator Watson makes, and his staff make a good point, which is, I don't know if this is the only one, but it is one of the only exemptions that's kind of an exemption for life without a relook. It's sort of unique. Property tax exemption. At least that's what, I'm not a property tax expert, so I don't know that to be true. As an example, if I put a solar system on my roof, I have to go back every year and reaffirm that it's.
Yes, I have to fill out a form every year.
Yeah, so. So this is a little bit unique.
It comes into play on a policy basis, and there's lots of varying opinions on this, but it seems problematic to many of us because of the nature of this exemption. It is a fluid situation. Technology changes, society changes, practices change, lots of things change. And it is problematic when a taxpayer comes in, gets 100% exemption, and then there is refined thinking about it. And we realize that that may not be the right thing. And there is in broad consensus that that's not the right decision. And no one that comes after them gets that tax exemption. And so now you have, and we have it today, in the market, competitors, some with 100% tax exemption, some with zero.
Let's get real specific. You got some natural gas plants that are operating at a competitive advantage because they got the Herzogs off the tax rolls and others didn't. And so I think if you were to very narrowly tailor the bill and deal with that issue, I would be, that's kind of what I told them, I would be supportive. If I'm not supportive of every single application for something on the predetermined list being looked at again. But in those specific cases where, it's a little bit of a gray area, I think it makes sense.
And it's not just Herzogs. Roland's got a situation down in his neck of the woods. And there are others where, where the folks who came later don't get it, and that seems to be very unique to this tax exemption. And not just doesn't make sense to us. The outcome is not what we look at as a positive outcome.
Well, the idea that once staff grants. Gives the determination letter. It's there forever unless somebody questions it. But the case that Don and I were talking about earlier is cooling towers. Cooling towers were at one time granted 100% exemption. They're not anymore. But the ones that got the 100% are still 100%. Question, if this passes and they do review every 5 years, do review at the time with the rules that were in place at the time they made application, or rules that are placed in place today?
Well, I mean, it goes even further than that, because this program didn't come in until 1994, so anybody with pollution control equipment before that time are not eligible.
I think the intent of the bill would be that things are renewed under the rules at time of the renewal. So that catches the cooling tower situation, right?
Well, and if it would still be exempt.
No, he wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't.
At the time, at the time it's being reviewed?
Yeah, a renewal.
Yeah, that's the whole point. They would have to come and renew, and you'd look at it again.
Yeah.
Again, it's April 24th. It's not out of committee.
Not going anywhere.
I'm not saying it's not going anywhere. I'm just saying it's unlikely, given the timing, that this bill can pass. But it could be something for all of people to think about.
It could easily pass if there was agreement, right?
Yeah.
But there's not agreement on that bill, right? There's still significant opposition to it.
So, but it's an issue to think about for the future.
Saras, FYI, the over 65 exemption, once granted, you're not getting any younger.
Death and taxes, the only thing.
Until a time machine comes in, that really is a lifetime exemption.
Or Superman flies against the rotation of the Earth, and we go back in time.
My son tells me that's a form of time machine.
Any additional discussion or any additional bills? All right. If there's nothing else on legislation, we'll move. I will circle back on a general nature and ask if we have any discussion on meet or exceed that was not addressed in this specific proposal. And we can save that for another day if you prefer. All right. No discussion on that. Then I'd say we're down to the other part in the old business. New business.
So I do think, continuing this discussion, when the EPA Clean Power Plan comes out as a final rule, and I know there will be legal challenges, at some point probably we should have a discussion about what that might mean, because then it's going to get really complicated.
Yeah, everybody should be rooting for me to win that so that we don't actually have to have that discussion. I know you're not going to agree with that.
No, I personally want you to win on the you got to do it inside the fence, because then we'll just close all the old coal plants.
Well, it all depends on what the number is, Cyrus.
Okay. That does cause me to comment that I think there's nothing in our proposal, I should have said this earlier, that implies that we're advising or opining on anything outside of power plants. This was just specifically related to this power plant. We can address other industries, other issues later on. Correct? I think that's our understanding.
That's right. This can be a kernel that is reviewed for growth, right?
Right.
Reviewed for, you know, how we look at it. But this is one area where we've spent some time on. I think we understand the situation and are comfortable with the statement.
Okay. All right. Any other business? Last chance for someone from the audience. Okay, go ahead.
Roland. Mr. Chair, I just want to thank Mike and Don and Mr. Sandlin for getting together and making this a whole lot easier for us today. Appreciate their input.
Yeah. Yes, I echo that. Any other comments from the committee or the audience? All right. Well, with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. Good.
Mr.
That
Lloyd.
Sounds like Lloyd. Thanks,
it is.
Lloyd. All right. We'll go ahead. I don't know if it needs a second.
Do we have meeting dates for future agenda?
Let me take. Good point. No, we do not yet, but we can start to do that. All right, I'll go ahead and call the vote. Those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
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 No? Okay. The meeting is adjourned at 10:45.